Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
It's amazing how leaders, we can preach, we can sing, we can speak in tongues, but we cannot apologize when we're wrong. And Jesus said, if there is an issue between you and a brother or a sister, he said, put your gift down. That's heavy. He said, go make it right.
Dear young married couple, after working with thousands of couples on their marriage, we know that this one action item often gets neglected because of pride or a lack of training in their upbringing. But if gone unaddressed, it will erode your marriage and ministry.
Today, we have the privilege of talking with Myron Weidman Jr. He's an associate pastor in Georgia, has a Bachelor of Science in Human Development with a concentration in counseling. And boy, did he preach today. We are looking forward to you guys joining this conversation about apology, why it's so hard for us to do both in our marriage and in our ministry, and why it's essential.
Welcome, Brother Myron Weidman, to the podcast. We're so thankful that you could join us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I am honored to be on.
Aw, well, you've been on the podcast before, and it was quite a popular episode. It was way back in the beginning when we launched the podcast in 2020, and we will link that episode in the show notes for
folks.
Think
about being physically attracted to your spouse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We agree.
controversial topic right there, but it was
very controversial. But
it was a good one.
Yes.
Well, thanks for joining us again. Today, this episode was inspired by a post you wrote. It was a few months ago. You wrote a post, put it on Instagram, and said, you can preach, sing, and speak in tongues, but can you apologize when you're wrong? And that was a post that caught our eye, both for marriage and for ministry. And we thought, let's have him on to talk about this in more detail.
Yeah. So is saying sorry Christian? Is apologizing Christian? Let's just start there.
Well, let's dive right into it.
Let's do it.
Well, absolutely. Obviously, saying I'm sorry, apologizing is the Christ-like thing to do. Hmm. For me personally, I think people have an issue, or they struggle with apologizing because of pride. Let's just call it for what it is. Mm-hmm. Because when you apologize, you are saying I'm wrong, and including the person that's speaking right now, nobody likes to admit when they are wrong. let's just be honest. Nobody likes to say I'm the problem. My fault. It's me. So I think from the jump, it's unnatural for us to apologize, especially in our flesh, because it makes us feel weak. It makes us feel powerless to ask somebody to forgive us. It's like we are giving you the power. And so it's unnatural for us. And we have to understand that pride, it hinders us from apologizing. But we must understand that apologizing is the Christ-like thing to do. Mm-hmm. You know, humility, that's one of the greatest traits that God wants all of us to possess. And when you apologize, you literally humble yourself. Mm. Very familiar passage of scripture, James chapter 4, verse 10 says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will exalt you. So this is how I like to say this. Whatever you choose, God will choose the opposite. Whatever you choose, God will choose the opposite. If you humble yourself and apologize, God will exalt you. But if you exalt yourself and not apologize, then God will humble you. So whatever you want to choose is your choice. But just know that God is going to choose the opposite. So apologizing, it humbles us. Mm. It reminds us that we are not perfect. I don't care if you are a leader. I don't care if you are the man of the house. I don't care what your seniority, what your position is. Apologizing humbles all of us, and it reminds us that we are not perfect and that we need forgiveness from God, and not only God, but we also need forgiveness from each other.
That's right.
Wow.
Okay, you're preaching
now. I love that because like it's like when I tell my wife I'm sorry, there is a link there in the spiritual that is, I would say, very important to say, like, you know, you could be sinning with God too. You know, like, it's to keep that in check. Because if I have this, my relationship with my wife closed down, where I don't say sorry, we don't repair, there has to be something too with my relationship with God where there isn't, maybe there isn't amends being made. I mean, I'm not forgiving my debtors.
Right.
There's huge issues. Do you, I want to ask you, what made you write this when you posted this? Was there a certain situation that was like, all right, I'm gonna have to address this.
Well, you're trying to get me in trouble, but
I am. How'd you know?
No, but honestly, I was really referring, to myself. To myself. And so it's easy, you know, for people to see that and say, wow, you know, he's probably taking shots at, you know, a lot of people right now. But really, I was speaking to myself. You know, God had dealt with me. Obviously, I'm an associate pastor. You know, I am a spiritual leader for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so there was an incident, or there were some things that had transpired, things that I had said that I probably shouldn't have said. I lost my temper, different things like that. And I had to humble myself. And I had to apologize. And so I just felt led to, I'm not even sure when I made the post a few months ago, but I just felt led to make that post, not only for me, but even for other leaders.
Sure.
That, you know, you can preach, you can sing, you can testify, speak in tongues, but that does not exempt us from apologizing. And if I can just add this, you know, when you look at Matthew 5, chapter 5, verses 23 through 24, Jesus was having this conversation, and this is what he said. He said, if you ever bring your gift to the altar and you remember that your brother has aught against you, this is what Jesus said. He said, leave your gift at the altar. This is powerful. He says, go your way, first be reconciled to your brother, and then come back to offer your gift. Jesus stresses the importance of resolving conflict. In that text, his listeners, they would obviously have been familiar with offering gifts at the altar, part of temple worship. It was considered a sacred act. But Jesus' point was that even pious actions should be set aside until reconciliation can be made between two people who are involved in a conflict. So hence my original post. It's amazing how leaders, we can preach, we can sing, we can speak in tongues, but we cannot apologize when we're wrong. And Jesus said, if there is aught, if there is an issue between you and a brother or a sister, he said, put your gift down. That's heavy. He said, leave your gift at the altar. Yep. He said, go make it right. But let's be honest, y'all. We don't do that. We don't do that. We have all, we have issues. We speak in tongues, but we don't speak to each other. I mean, all kind of just foolishness in the church. But then we want to get up there and preach our sermon. We want to sing our song. We want to operate in our position, go into our offices. And once again, I can speak like this because I'm talking about myself as well. I'm a leader. So I'm including myself in
this. But you're preaching.
We do all of this. We do all of this, and yet we will not humble ourselves, and we will not apologize. And God, this is what I feel. God is saying, I don't want to hear your sermon. I know you're anointed, and but no, put the microphone down.
Okay.
Get off the keyboard. step off the platform. Go take a seat. go find an altar and get yourself together. Go make it right, and you make it right by apologizing.
Yeah.
Make it right. You make it right by reconciling yourself to your brother or your sister. And so, and so God led me to that. And so I said, you know what? It's not just me. So I said, let me put this out there for all of my fellow leaders, that no matter how high we think we are, if we're too high to apologize, then we're missing the mark.
That's really good.
So I'm curious, Brother Myron, how did that work out when you apologized to this person a few months ago, or people, I don't know, the situation?
Right.
Tell us the impact it made.
It made a huge impact, not only on myself. It humbled me, not only on me, but even to the person that I apologized to. They were even humbled and amazed almost that, wow, you know, that you didn't have to do that. You know, you were Pastor so-and-so, your brothers, you could just keep doing what you're doing. But for me to do that, it really humbled them, and it really brought our relationship closer. And even the same thing, if I can just add this as an addendum, even just in, you know, in my own marriage, even with my wife, people don't realize that apologizing, not only does it humble you, but it also brings you closer together to the person you apologize to.
Well, it's securing that attachment bond, because the attachment bond is asking, or that question between the two of you, it's asking, like, will you be there for me?
Yes.
Are you for me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Or are you just going to leave me, you know, like in a time of need, you know, are you going to forsake me?
Yeah.
So really you're saying, hey, even at my own expense, if I messed up, if I come to you and say, hey, you know, I am so sorry, and we reconcile, it's confirming that fear for someone. Not confirming the fear, but it's confirming that I will be there for you, and putting away the fear.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
So good. One thing I would love to hear you talk about, because this is an interesting thing. The reason why I think a lot of leaders don't apologize is they see, and we're saying leaders, marriage too.
Right.
They see that I didn't do anything wrong. Come on, dude. Like, I didn't do anything. But when I read that verse, someone actually, it's funny, it's awesome that we're talking about this right now. They pointed out, you didn't even have to do anything wrong. It just says, go make it right.
Correct.
So address it. Don't just leave it in the closet and expect things to get better in the house of God, in your marriage, between a friend. Go and figure it out.
That's it.
Even if you don't see that you did anything, you know, quote unquote, wrong.
Right.
Maybe you could have done it better.
Right.
That's good.
Like, what is your take on that?
Absolutely. I agree 100%. Sometimes when you apologize, it's not even necessarily that I feel that I'm 100% in the wrong, but when I'm apologizing, what I'm saying is that I care more about our relationship. Mm. I care more about our friendship than I do my pride. Yeah. I care more about you as a person than I do my ego. And so I love what you said. Apologizing, once again, doesn't necessarily mean that I'm the one that's all in the wrong. But I love you that much that I will humble myself to try to endeavor to keep the peace. And you just hit on something a few minutes ago with leaders. It's many times how we as leaders, sometimes we think that we're not in the wrong, because I am a leader, I can do, you know, pretty much whatever I want to do, and I only answer, you know, to God. It kind of reminds me of David in scripture, a man after God's own heart. But he is one of the greatest examples of someone apologizing. Now, it did take him almost 2 years. Now, I do need to throw that out there. Please don't take 2 years. But it did take him almost 2 years to apologize. But when the man of God finally came and confronted him about his sin, he made it right. The prophet Nathan, he confronted him for committing adultery with Bathsheba, impregnating her, having Uriah killed. He then gave David that parable, you know, mm-hmm. about the man who stole the one man's mm-hmm. sheep. But here it is. Notice what came out of David first. Don't miss that. It wasn't an apology. It wasn't okay. remorse. It wasn't repentance. The very first thing that came out of this man of God, this king of Israel, was pride. What did he say? That man should die. That's pride. Excuse me? Excuse me, sir?
Yep.
Who should die? And until the prophet said, yeah, he said, you're the man, sir. You're the man. You always wow. want to blame everybody else. And put, no. You're the man who needs to apologize. And that's mm-hmm. finally when David had to examine inside of himself. He had to look at himself.
Right.
And that's when he said, God, I've sinned against you. Conviction finally hit him, and then he was able to finally lay down his pride. But what I love, I have to give David credit. I know I just kind of took a shot at him a few minutes ago, but I give him credit, because once he got rid of the pride and once he apologized, notice when he penned Psalm 51, when he penned that whole apology letter to Jesus, he said, create in me a clean heart, renew in me. Notice the personal pronouns. He said, renew in me a right spirit. He did not blame Bathsheba. He did not say, oh man, she should have been bathing. You know, man, I hate that I caught a glimpse of that. He didn't blame Bathsheba. He didn't blame Saul. He didn't blame,
right.
He didn't blame his predecessor. Although we know Saul was a toxic, he was the epitome of a toxic leader. He didn't blame Saul.
Yeah.
He didn't even blame Jesse. He didn't blame his father for overlooking him. He said, no, it's me. He said, I'm the man. I'm the problem. Wow. And he apologized. And so let me just throw this in as well. And I'll stop talking.
No, you're good.
That's good.
Apologizing and asking for forgiveness is the first step to making it right. Now, let me just as an asterisk, just throw this in for everybody that's listening today. Once again, apologizing is the first step to making it right. But here it is right here. Here's the bitter pill. Does it fix everything? Not all the time.
That's right.
But it's a start. Mm-hmm. Because remember, David apologized. God forgave him, but he still had to face the consequences. Yeah. Nathan said, God has forgiven you, but the sword will never depart from your house. Mm. So we have to understand that yes, we have to apologize. God will forgive us, but we have to be careful, because we can choose our sin, but we cannot choose our consequences. So apologizing is a great first step. Mm-hmm. There still may be some consequences that we're going to have to face.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's definitely what we see with working with so many affairs broken trust. And mm-hmm. like, sorry is absolutely necessary. Remorse is absolutely necessary. But it doesn't fix it. You know, right. We tell people that trust and forgiveness are two different things.
Yeah.
Correct.
We say, like, you know, trust, if you don't forgive someone, it's like drinking battery acid and expecting it to hurt the other person. It's like, yeah, right. That doesn't work. It's going to hurt you. Forgiveness is for that, the person that was sinned against.
Right.
You know, but it's for that person. It's right. Not for the other person. But winning trust back,
That takes time
because mm-hmm. you have to prove your trustworthiness.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we're talking about this in the context of healing from broken trust in a marriage, like an affair, pornography, et cetera. But I think this also applies in terms of leadership. You know, if a pastor did wrong or could have done better, and now this person in the church or the person that was under them, if they are not trusting the pastor now,
right.
They can forgive. And if the pastor sought forgiveness, well, hopefully they'll work on, you know, trusting, but it might take time to build that trust. And I wonder, tell us if this is right, you know, with you being in a pastoral role, I wonder if it's hard for a pastor to seek forgiveness for a wrongdoing and not try to get the other person, like in an attempt to shepherd them, not try to get the other person to also own their part, like just to leave it alone and right. just seek forgiveness without blaming them for their piece. How does that like work out practically speaking?
Absolutely. Everything you said is 100% correct. You know, what I try to tell people is that you can only control what you can control. You can only control yourself. So my job is to not try to tell you or try to convince you of what your part is or how you need to say it or how you need to do it. Mm-hmm. For example, if a pastor or a leader is asking for forgiveness, I don't think it is fair to the parishioner, fair to the member, for them to be told on how quick they're supposed to heal.
Yes.
If you know, well, I apologize to you, so we should be able to move on with it. Yeah, you may be able to move on, sir, or you may be able to move on, ma'am, but sometime healing takes time.
That's right.
You know, some wounds are deep, you know, deeper than others. And so once again, the apology is a good start. You know, that begins to build that bridge of reconciliation and trust. But sometimes it doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes it takes weeks, months, and even years. And the individual has to understand that. Mm-hmm. And they cannot be impatient. Another thing, when you're asking for forgiveness, you're trying to rebuild that trust again. I tell people this as well, too. Another point concerning apologizing is that a true apology is more than just words. A true apology is more than just, I'm sorry. The old saying is actions speak louder than words. Yeah. I can even take it further dealing with marriages or whatever interpersonal relationship, whether it's in families, church leadership, whatever the case is, apologizing is even more than tears.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's more than words. It's more than saying, I'm sorry, I'm wrong. That's a great start. I appreciate that. I'm bawling my eyes out. I'm crying crocodile tears. That's awesome. And that's great as well. But a sincere apology is more than words. It's more than tears. It's change.
Yeah.
Our kids are 5 and 6, and they are growing so fast that it's hard keeping up with buying new clothes.
But now we have found a solution so they don't have to outgrow their favorite clothes after only a few months, and that is Posh Peanut.
Posh Peanut is a great solution for many reasons. They have super soft and stretchy clothes that seem to grow with our kids, so they get longer wear out of them.
Yes, and our kids love Posh Peanut because of the incredibly soft viscose fabric from bamboo that stays soft even after you wash them over and over again.
When the kids were babies, we bought matching mommy baby PJ sets for them, and we started getting Posh Peanut daytime clothing too.
Last week, we got matching dresses for our daughter and our niece, and the girls absolutely loved them. No complaints of it being itchy or uncomfortable, so praise God.
Right now, Posh Peanut is offering our listeners 20% off your first order with promo code DYMC.
So go to poshpeanut.com/DYMC and use promo code DYMC for 20% off your first order.
That's poshpeanut.com/DYMC, promo code DYMC.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com. Mm-hmm.
It's when the behavior changes. Mm. So if I keep saying I'm sorry, if I keep saying please forgive me, but I keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over, then the question is, are you really sorry? Have you really apologize. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love your point about expecting someone to get over it in your own time frame.
Right.
And, you know, we see this obviously in marriage when working through broken trust, you know, the spouse who broke trust feels so relieved that everything's out and they're able to seek forgiveness. But then the spouse who was hurt by this broken trust, you know, they're not ready yet to just like heal right. and move forward immediately. And unfortunately we have seen this in the church where a pastor or a ministerial counselor will right. tell the person that you are not allowed to bring this up again once you quote unquote forgive, you know? Mm. And tell us your perspective on that from a pastor.
Well, I agree with that, you know, to a certain extent. I do think that there does come a point where if we keep after a while rehashing the past or rehashing yesterday, it is hard to move forward if we keep bringing up yesterday. But at the same time, unless you have been in that position where you have been violated, you have been hurt, you have been mishandled, it's really tough to tell somebody to say, get over it, move on. That's, you know, it's just like if you lose a loved one and somebody who has never lost a loved one comes to you and say, get over it. Why are you still crying for her? It's been 2 weeks. You know how people are. They're in a better place. All this type of stuff, but you haven't sat in my seat. You haven't walked in my shoes. And so, you know, it's hard to tell somebody how long to grieve, because we all grieve differently. You know, of course, they say there's seven stages of grief. What, you know, some people go through the seven stages in 1 day, 1 week. So it may take others a year, but it's easy for you to tell me to move on and start bringing it up. But you were the one that cheated. You were the one that was watching pornography. You were the one that did, you know, that brought this person in. Right. So it's easy for you to, you know, for you to say, but I'm the one that's feeling and dealing with it. So, so at the end of the day, I don't think we can rush or tell anybody how long they should grieve, because even in the marriage, sure, nobody may have not died or there was no loss of life, but they still lost something. They lost their trust in you, you know, and so they're grieving. That's so they didn't, but they're still grieving.
Yep.
So you have to give them that space to grieve. And when you grieve, you're going to have some bad days. Yes. We're not God. We can forgive, but it's tough for us to forget. That takes time. God is the one that throws our sin into the sea of forgetfulness, and he throws it behind his back, never to remember it no more. That's why he's God. And because we forgive, but it's tough for us to forget, and especially when we see that person or you know, we go to that particular place and those thoughts come back into our mind. So we have to give each other in grace. Yeah.
Forgetting would be a miracle. Yeah. We don't do miracles, do we?
I love how you frame it in terms of grief. That's a really helpful model for, I think, both for spouses and pastors to keep in mind, you know, to expect someone to never bring it up again when it's as if someone just died. That would be ridiculous. You know, correct. And so it's okay for the person to bring it up again. It doesn't mean they haven't forgiven. It means they're grieving and they're learning to trust, and it's taking time.
Whenever someone brings it up again, the only reason that I know, well, there's two reasons. The first reason would be to seek reassurance from that person. Like, hey, are you still there for me? I need you. The other reason I can think of bringing it up that wouldn't be reassurance would be to hold it over that person as a power play.
Yeah.
So I think that leader has to be discerning which is this, and be very kind and gentle, because either way, that's a fragile situation. What? Quick question for you. What do you think would be the essential elements for a good apology? And what do you think would be the essential elements of seeking trust? Or like, what would be the things that I would do to gain trust with someone maybe that I lead, or even a friend?
Well, obviously, you know, as I mentioned before, time tells all things. And so it's one thing to say, I'm sorry today. Please forgive me. But, you know, the way I look at it is once again, it's going to take time. How, you know, I heard what you said yesterday. I heard what you said last week. But am I seeing the necessary changes to show that you actually mean, you know, what you said? And so, you know, another thing that I try to tell people as well, you know, even dealing like with friendships, you know, we deal with different issues, you know, even here at the church, and people say, you know, well, this brother or sister offended me, or they hurt me, and you know, they apologize, but you know, what do I do now? And I tell them that just because you have forgiven them does not mean that now you cannot put up some boundaries.
Yeah,
that's right.
It's good.
You know, just because you forgive somebody doesn't mean that you just have to blindly just open yourself back up and just fall into, you know, and so the relationship may change.
Yeah.
Or wow, it, you know, and we have to understand this, that the relationship may not even go back to what it all to what it originally was. Right. It doesn't mean that I have not forgiven you. It doesn't mean that, you know, I do not love you and care for you. But at the same time, though, it's going to take time for me to build that trust and to open my heart and myself back up again. And so I have to protect that, you know. So I forgive you. I love you. I promise you, if you need anything, I'm here. If I see you on the side of the road, you run out of gas, I'm not going to drive by you. If I see you at Walmart, I'm going to say, praise the Lord. How you doing? I love you. I care for you. But at the same time, though, the relationship may not be the same. We may not go out to eat, you know, every Sunday at the church. You know, we may not text every single day. You may not come to my house for a while.
Yeah.
There has to be some boundaries until trust has been built, you know. So so getting back, you know, I know I'm all over the place. I digress.
That's good.
But getting back to your original question, I think that the individual should repent. The individual should apologize sincerely. And once again, I think it's going to have to take time. You're going to have to prove yourself that it was more than just words, but you're actually seeing the change.
Yes. Yeah. I love how you said time tells all things, because we often say, you know, time does not heal all things. It's the action over time. Time will tell.
Right.
You know, like if you are meeting the expectations of the other person, proving yourself to be trustworthy, those are the actions over time, and it will tell. But if you're not doing those things, time will also tell that you're not trustworthy. And so you're giving these practical examples of boundaries you might set with someone in the church, right? Even though you forgive them and you love them, you're not going to have the same relationship. We would submit that the same is true in a marriage.
Absolutely.
That time is necessary. Action over time is necessary to prove trustworthiness, and boundaries are a good way to prove that.
And the person has to watch, the person that's been betrayed has to watch and see, like, okay, like you said, time tells, like through time, to watch this person work on, especially if it's something that this person would typically do. Mm-hmm. So they're having to change a lot about themselves. If it's wrong, it should be changed.
Yes.
I heard someone say recently there are more faults hidden under the guise of personality. This is just my personality.
Right.
And they're like, wait, hold on. You don't have there are certain things, yes, that won't change. But a lot of us tell stories about ourselves for a long time to say, well, I'm just abrupt, or I'm just rude. And that's just, well, they wouldn't say that. I'm just straightforward. No, that's rude. You need to work on that.
correct. And especially if you call yourself a Christian and you, here it is, and you have been born again.
Come on.
So even if you grew up like that, or well, my mama was like that, or my daddy was a straight shooter, and all that may be fine, but you should be a new creation in Christ.
Yeah, especially if we're really trying to love. I love going back to love is gentle, love is kind, love is long-suffering. If you're not those things, Jesus said, people will know that you are my disciples for the love that you show one to another. Can people watch you in Walmart or wherever you are in life, in the pulpit, in the front, in the altar?
The way you tip your waiter.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Or the way you treat the waiter. You'll be surprised that somebody can preach the house down and go out to eat afterwards and give a a $2 tip and rude. And I'm like, it's a disconnect somewhere.
Yeah.
And so I look at people's character, you know, not only on the platform, but off the platform. Honestly, more off the platform than I do on the platform.
That's right.
Because there's protocol up there, right? We put our best foot forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when it's hard, it's hard to be Jesus though when you're not in the spotlight, right?
That's when true character shines.
Absolutely.
Man,
absolutely.
It's so good.
And I, you know, I just throw this in there. I love what you said too about how people try to make excuses about this is how I am, and et cetera. You know, one thing I try to tell people, especially singles that are looking to get married, is that that's why it's critical. That's why it's important to make sure you marry a man of God. Make sure you marry a woman of God, somebody who has a relationship with Christ. Because when storms come, when trials come, you want somebody that can go to God. And even if you can't show me my wrong, even if you can't show me myself, if I have a relationship with Christ, my wife and I, we have lived through this. We, you know, this month will be 16 years of marriage, Lord willing, January. Thank you so much. 26 will be 16 years of marriage.
Wow.
And there's been many times she has tried to show me myself. She has tried to say, you're wrong. You're out of line.
She's holding up the mirror like, hey, look.
Yeah. I mean, she has the Bible like, you know. Like, read this. You preach this, you know, live, you know, your attitudes, things. And she's trying to tell me, and I'm like, yeah, you know, who you're talking, you know, who you talking to, and all that type of stuff. But when I walk away, take some time, and as a man of God, I have my own devotion. God convicts me, and he says, your attitude does stink. Now, my wife just told me that 30 minutes ago, but I wasn't hearing her. But because I have a relationship with Christ,
yeah.
Now he says, no, that you are out of order, sir. Nope, no excuse. I can go back to my wife, and now I can say, you know what? Forgive me. I'm so sorry. I'm wrong. God has spanked me. God has spanked me, and let's make it right. You know,
it's so good.
My wife and I had a debate. Well, I guess you can call it a heated debate a few months ago, and we weren't getting anywhere, and the sun was getting ready to go down on our wrath. And it was now.
Help me, Jesus.
Yeah. Now I know you guys have never had one of those, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Never.
14 years ago, I think, was the last one.
Yeah, of course.
Let me go check my pride.
And so it was one of those nights, and the sun eventually went down, and she said, you know what? I don't even want you in the room. Go sleep in the guest room. Me, the preacher, the pastor. Well, I don't want to be here anyway. You know, I don't want to sleep here anyway. You know, and so I went to the guest room, and I slept in the guest room. But, you know, of course, God, man, I tossed and turned. God convicted me and spoke with me, dealt with me strongly all night. Came back upstairs the next morning. God was dealing with her at the same time. And when I apologized to her, I told her, I said, you know what? I said, I'm under a lot of stress right now, ministry-wise, a lot of things going on at church. I was preparing to speak at General Conference at that time. It was just so much, you know, stuff going on. My parents are aging here. There's a lot. And I was just under stress, and I took it out. Yeah, it was waiting. I took it out. And she didn't know a lot of this stuff. And so the apology opened the door for us to grow closer. And she said, I wish it didn't take this blow up for us to, you know, get here. But she said, now I understand why you've been irritable. You've been, you know, moody and stuff like that. And she was able to pray with me and, you know, love me a little more and stuff like that. Good. So that apology brought us closer together.
So good.
That's so good. I was just telling Krissa, I think that's what's changed in my marriage too, is that like now, because what I used to do is avoid, right? I'd get angry and be like, yeah, forget you. I don't need you anyway. You know? And I go to my corner and be quiet and not meet her eyes and, you know, like just kind of, you stay in your corner over here and I'll be over here and you just leave me alone for a few days.
Yes.
And I told Chris, I was like, I think the farther I've developed my relationship with Jesus, it's like God doesn't let you just sit with that.
Right.
He's like, no, if we're going to be good here, we have to be good here too.
Yes.
And And I'm sorry for the people listening. I'm saying, if we're good here, pointing up, right. And then we gotta be. We have to, because marriage, I think, is that thing that helps us learn how relationship works.
Yeah.
Right. And if we're gonna have a infinitely long relationship with Jesus, we have to learn these lessons here on earth that are hard to learn.
Yes.
But train us to be rulers, and to be right. You have dominion and all these things.
Yeah.
But I love what you're saying, like. Allowing God to shine that light into your soul,
mm-hmm.
right.
and correct you and take the correction and go to your wife or the person that you've harmed
right.
with love and humility.
Amen.
I feel like that right there just solves so much. It's that posture I think is so important, brother, because I've seen a lot of people, you know, say I'm sorry with words, like you said,
right?
But they don't lean into it. It's mm-hmm. like, well, yeah, sorry. I'm sorry that you're wrong. Or I'm sorry you feel that way.
That's a common one. That's not an apology.
That is not an apology.
That's not an apology.
Mm-hmm. It's not taking like extreme ownership. I love that book. Mm-hmm. It's not taking extreme ownership for the pain that you caused. And if you're not taking responsibility for it, mm-hmm. you're not going back upstairs and saying, hey, look, it's been a hard week.
Right.
And we all have that. Like,
you do.
You got to call it out.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a hard week. I got this and this and this. And it makes sense. You know, like,
yeah.
It makes sense that I'm irritable.
That's right.
And thank you for being vulnerable and sharing that, because it's so relatable. Like, you know, mm-hmm. we've been there in the last few months too. It's just, but it's that fight through. That's the word I use for Krissa. There's a fight through. Where you That's come right. to where God brings it to you into mm-hmm. your mind and says, okay, what are you going to do with it?
Right.
And then you're warring with your ego and what am I going to do? Am I going to just tap out here, or am I going to do the right thing?
Yeah.
That's right. That's so good.
Well, thank you so much, Brother Myron. This has been so valuable. I love how we're ending on that note that you made that apology and reconciliation actually draws us closer to our spouse, to God, and to the people we serve. And so as leaders and as spouses, we are urging you, make an apology, reconcile, and you will be thankful you did.
Amen.
You'll see the fruit that comes from it. So thank you. What resources can you suggest to people who want to dig more deeply into this topic?
Into the topic of apologizing?
Yeah.
The greatest resource you can have is the Word of God. Get in your word.
Amen.
Confess your sins to God. He is faithful and just to forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Put your pride down and go say I'm sorry right now.
Yeah. Go find some verses. Get a highlighter out.
That's right.
So good.
That's right.
I love that.
All right. So if people want to follow you and be encouraged by the things you post, they can reach you at Myron Weidman Jr., J.R., on Instagram. So, or any other way of contacting, how do you suggest people connect with you?
Instagram, Facebook, that's fine.
Okay. Excellent.
Awesome.
Thank you guys so much for having me on again.
Thank you.
So much. Just love what you do. Thank you.
We love that what you're standing for.
Amen. We appreciate that.
So absolutely.
All right. Last question for you. The way we close out all of our episodes, rewind back 16 years ago. What advice do you wish you would have received? And then fill in the blank, dear young married couple.
That's heavy. What advice wish I would receive? Fight fair.
Mm-hmm.
Fight fair. No, you're not going to agree with each other on everything, no matter how pretty she is, no matter how much money he has. There's going to be quarrel. There's going to be disagreements. Love each other. Fight fair. Keep God at the center. It's going to work out. I promise you.
Amen.
That's so good. Man, people can just take that in.
Right.
That'll save a couple months.
You think? Oh, so good. Thank you so much. You're an excellent resource for people, and inspiring and anointed. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much. Love y'all.
Love you.
Do you want help getting to the next level in your ministry or personal development?
We would love to help coach you. I made this statement before, Everyone needs a counselor. Just think about it. Every person competing at the highest levels has someone in their corner.
Yeah, leadership doesn't have to be lonely, and we would love to help you. Just shoot us a text, 916-678-1797. And you can also find out more information at DearYoungMarriedCouple.com.
P.S. You don't have to be married to get some help. So just reach out. Contact us. We'd love to walk alongside you.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.